You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
As you hear it going through the offseason, the Bears got to get a running back, the Bears got to do this because Drake can't do that. How do you deal with those types of things?
What can I do?
The cop said, you know, I don't agree with it, but I want to know how you deal with it, the perception of it.
Everybody got an opinion, entitled to their own opinion. My job is to come in here and continue to work. And like I said, I'm excited for this season. I know who I am and what I'm about. So that's all. Thankful for another opportunity going into the season.
That was DeAndre Swift, and this is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We shift gears back to Bears training camp, where this is new for us. Everybody's talking early. The practices are being held early, so we get to react to this stuff real time as the news is coming in, which is not common for us. I feel like that part of it is fun.
Thank you, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, thanks for getting us the freshest of the news. And a lot of the fresh news does involve the running back room. It's been something that we've talked about a lot. Do they have who they want? You heard Kaylin Kaler mention Ashton Jeanty in her segment. He's a Raider. We knew there was a lot of commotion around Jeanty and whether or not he would drop to the Bears at 10. It didn't happen. And then they didn't take a running back in the draft until the 7th round in Kyle Menungai. So when you consider that the discussion went from Jeanty to Menungai, how are they going to address it when they know that so much of Ben Johnson's offense is predicated on the run? So let's start with Ben Johnson talking about his assessment of the Bears running back room.
We'll find out more once we get the pads on, but extremely coachable, improvements on the tracks every single day. Just we're very detailed with where we want them to go. They're all about it. Coach Bieniemy's doing a phenomenal job. He's very demanding. He's one of the more demanding coaches I've been around. I think they're receptive to that type of coaching. I think Swift has done a great job. Come back this from the summer, he's in great shape. He had some plays yesterday that weren't ideal. We might have had a guy unblocked in the hole, and yet he's able to extend it and make something happen beyond. So a highly motivated group. I know the perception out there is that maybe it's not the most talented room in the world. They like to hear that noise. So we're gonna be just fine.
You also like to hear that noise, because how did the Ashton Jeanty rumors get started? I get it. He's doing the right thing. You use it as a bulletin board type of material to coach him up. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, say, for example, DeAndre Swift last season had 253 carries go for 959 yards.
That seems bad.
3.8 yards a carry. And we heard Eric Bieniemy, by the way, talk about the importance of running up the middle of the offensive line, running between your tackles, for example, running off of your guards and then being able to make something happen. So I do think that there's been a lot of discussion about how to get better at all of these things.
I'm just wondering what the roles will be for the guys not named DeAndre Swift. That's really where this comes down to, because we know about Swift's past with Johnson in Detroit. What I don't know is, what does he think of Roschon Johnson, Kyle Manongai, who was their rookie running back drafted in the 7th round, and Travis Homer? And could they supplant, complement? What are the roles going to be? And I don't know that Ben Johnson knows those answers, but I'm along for that ride as much as any other position group on this team.
We do know that he doesn't know those answers, because in his introductory press conference at training camp, he talked about how he doesn't know what kind of scheme they're running yet, which I found to be really interesting, because again, if that's going to dictate how you run the offense and you're still trying to figure out what your personnel are doing, that's a big part of it.
Swift on a 3-year, $24 million contract. So this is year two.
Correct.
And I just wonder what that's going to look like going forward. Is it going to be, all right, let's ride with him now and see what we can improve, upgrade, replace at the end of this season? But let's be honest, Caleb Williams, just a second-year quarterback. This is his first time running Ben Johnson's offense. It's got to be a situation where he can lean on the running game, you would think.
No, there's no you would think. In order to do anything that they want to do here, they have to run the ball more. And I've said that forever, but especially in Ben Johnson's offense. You don't have to run it a ton more. Just the slightest threat of the run will open up play action. But the Bears didn't run a lot of play action last year.
I don't think it's run it more necessarily. It's just you have to run more effectively. When you do run it, you've got to have the type of balance and the type of threat that other teams now don't know what you're doing.
When your quarterback got sacked 68 times last year, you can bet I'm running the ball more. Period.
Yeah, and this all ties into the offensive line as well, which I have a great deal of faith in based on the personnel. Before we know about the cohesion and how that's going to look, before we know who's actually going to start at left tackle. But I thought that was an interesting nugget that was given to us by Mark Grody, that, hey, Braxton Jones, when they just go out there, he's been the guy. And then when they're actually doing stuff, because he's not ramped up yet, they've been alternating at the left tackle
and
position.
That makes sense. He's the incumbent veteran. That makes all the sense in the world. Now tell me how you want to use your second round pick in Ozzie Trapillo when that's the case, but that's part of it. Have I said that I want more out of Braxton Jones? Yes, I have, especially when it comes to pass blocking. Now, as far as the offensive line itself, DeAndre Swift said, as we mentioned, you know, he can't wait to run behind this new offensive line. I'm glad he's excited. He's a veteran. He knows what it's like to run behind good offensive lines. He's played for Detroit and Philadelphia. So I'll take his expertise on that. So what did Ben Johnson have to say about Swift's production last season, which we mentioned?
He has always been quiet. He's always been highly motivated on the inside. So there's a lot of things about him that are the same as what they've been. He's not happy with how last year went for him, production-wise, team-wise, everything-wise. He's really motivated. He's really excited to help lead and spur this team forward. So I don't think I see a whole lot of differences from where he's been, but I see a very hungry individual.
That's Ben Johnson talking about DeAndre Swift, who as of now is number one on the depth chart at running back, as we talk here on Raheemy and Harris about what that running back room could look like going forward and whether or not DeAndre Swift is the guy. As of now, he is, but all these things are subject to change.
Right. I don't necessarily know that running back room is set. And when you consider a head coach comes in, he's got a different opinion of certain talent. For example, drafts a tight end 10th overall. So I think a lot of this is him trying to evaluate who these people are and how he can make the same things look different and the different things look the same. That's, of course, a tenet of his offensive mission statement as well. So Ben Johnson also talked about how that would look, like what the process looks like with trying to put this run game together.
we'll talk about it as a staff, and that's where we got to lean IA. We got a great veteran O-line coach and Dan Roshar that he's been around. He knows what good football looks like. He'll be able to hone in on what he feels like our unit up front can handle. The volume is a big deal. How much is too much? And so that's that fine line. We got to make sure we're attacking the defense and keeping them guessing. But at the same time, we got to do things that we're good at. So over the course of camp, over the next few weeks, it's really going to come together for us.
When he says how much is too much, I'm assuming he's talking about how many times you can try to run the ball and see if it's going to work in certain cases.
If your line's good, there's no such thing as too much.
But if you dance to the line and you don't say run straight on, how much is that going to affect the expected yards you want on a certain play? You know, when you're trying to figure out outside zone, how much is that going to affect what you're doing? Can you block for it? That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, I think that's where it starts, right? Can you block for it? And if you can block for it, then you can just keep running the ball as much as you want.
Well, ask Braxton Jones and the crew about outside zone blocking.
Layla, one of my favorite things in football is when a team goes up, let's say, two scores in the second half, and the defense is tired, and they're just like, oh, y'all look tired over there. What's good? And they just pound and pound and pound away, and they break off chunks, big explosive plays. And at that point, the defense is defeated because they can't stop the run. We've seen that happen to the Bears a few times.
That's
in the last
ideal. Yeah. And part of the problem is it's because the opposing team's offense gets right back on the field. You know, that's the issue is it's happened to the Bears when the Bears offense can't produce, you know, and then the defense has to come back out there and the time adds up. You know, time of possession, I still think, is a valid stat in the NFL in certain cases. This is an example. But as far as putting it together, you know, I still think about the fact that Ben Johnson decided Jahmyr Gibbs was the better running back. Like, they went out and spent a high draft pick on Jahmyr Gibbs to have that combination with he and David Montgomery.
People thought they were crazy at the time.
I certainly did, because I thought you had a great running back in DeAndre Swift. They made him look good.
And people will tell you don't take running backs that high. But the whole thing is, if you know what you're getting and you know how to use them, that's why I got no issues with the Colston Loveland pick, because I got, at this point, Ben Johnson has earned the confidence of most people because he's Ben Johnson. Look what he's been able to do as a play caller. If he's picking a guy that high, there is a reason.
Yeah, well, he's comped him to Sam Laporta. He did that.
Right.
What about the Colston Montgomery pick?
Hey, that's a powerful force, as we found out over the last couple of days.
So at the end of that Ben Johnson clip, he's talked about we need to play into what our offense is good at. So asking you guys, as of right now, what do you think the Bears' offense is good at?
I think it's too early. I don't think they know yet. I think the better question there, Robbie, is how long will it take to find out what the offense is good at? I think the joint practices are something to circle. As now we're going to know after the joint practices. I think he looks at those joint practices more than he looks at the actual exhibition of preseason games.
Let's look at the individual strengths. What do you know your individuals are good at based on their resumes? You know that Drew Dahlman is good at being a center, much better than any center the Bears have had recently. You know that's the case for Joe Tooney. He knows Jonah Jackson to be good when he had him, even though he had the injury in L.A. So that's what you know up front. I know Braxton Jones struggles on certain pass blocking. I know he's fabulous in space. I would want that guy downfield blocking for me. And on the other side, I know Darnell Wright is consistent enough to trust. So I go out then to the quarterback and the running backs, for example, and I know DeAndre Swift is good at giving you multiple looks. I know he's good at catching passes out of the backfield. And I know that DJ Moore is versatile. So I think probably having at least two people who know how to be versatile when it comes to the yards from the line of scrimmage is a good place to start.
I'm with you on that. I think it's just understanding, and maybe he hasn't done it yet. I mean, he has a playbook. They've learned the playbook. They've had install. I want to know what the end result's going to be, though. And I think so much of that depends on Caleb Williams. So I think everything we're asking each other and we're observing right now, it's not going to mean anything if Caleb Williams isn't doing his job well.
Yeah, so much of this is just reliant on it's built on your run game, but it's reliant on QB1. Like, how are you going to fake that play action?
What's that cadence sounding like coming up to the line?
Cadence is a massive, massive, massive aspect
are
of
you,
this.
Are you practicing your cadence while driving in the car?
Might you look interesting to a car next to you who sees you and wants to know why you're talking to yourself? Or maybe they can hear you because you're that loud with your cadence.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
It's football season.
My budget season.
Before we get to the football season, I should have mentioned that our visits, our pleasant visits with Nico Horner, are sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk free checking. More at Huntington.com/your money.
Somehow it's football season,
mister,
and there are certain things that register with me in the middle of baseball season as I don't care, but then there are certain things that I'm like, oh boy, it's football season. And that's just me. For you, I think that threshold is different in terms of what registers, and this is our ongoing relationship and partnership in focus here. But today is a day that the GM steps up, the coach steps up, bunch of players step up. It's hard not to realize it's football season.
It was really weird this morning. I'm, you know, getting ready for the show. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm on my laptop and I'm looking around the regular places I look for things. And I'm like, all right, now it's time to get local. Let me see what's going on in the Sun-Times. Let me see what's going on in the Tribune. I open up the Tribune sports section and there's a picture of me and the rest of the assembled media talking to Jay Cutler on report day in 2009.
That's hilarious.
The great Phil Velasquez took the picture. It's on my Instagram if you want to check it out, at Lawrence W. Holmes.
That's
if you
funny. It's on the Tribune's website as of this morning. Yeah,
like, it's crazy because they did a whole story on, like, players bringing stuff to camp, like what guys would move into.
All right, so 2009, that's hilarious.
And there's a picture of a very don't want to be here Jay Cutler in the middle of the gaggle. And there's a lot, I mean, you see me there, I'm there, Zach's there, I'm right next to Mully. A young David Haw is there.
How about a John Moon Mullen?
Yeah, our friends that have passed too. John Moon Mullen, Jeff Dickerson is in that fray too.
Oh man, I'll look on your IG. That's hilarious. Amazing.
I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, like you're just logging on. I'm like, oh, this should be an interesting. Like, oh, bleep, that's me.
Hello. Meanwhile,
with a goatee.
Meanwhile, on this radio station in middays, probably the Danny Mac show was doing a bit about like Devin Hester came running into camp. You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then, you know, all these different people. Jay Cutler doesn't give a crap about camp, but.
Look, Speaks, if you see that picture, it is the epitome of Jay Cutler.
Don't care.
It is the, you see, are you looking at it now?
All that was missing was the fake cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
He could not, and let me just tell you.
Wait, was it fake all these years?
Maybe it was real. I don't know.
The Bears were not quite ready for us when it came to Cutler, and he was not ready either. And I'm not trying to toss shade at Denver media, but there's not as many of them as there are of us.
Do people know the don't care story? Like Cutler, was it Shuba's, right?
Yeah.
Like two years.
He's at the urinal.
He's at the urinal at Shuba's, and another, like a guy's next to him is trying to talk to him about football and like.
Which is a really terrible time to talk to anyone about anything. Yeah. But,
and he's like asking Jay all about some football stuff, and Jay
is. Guy's like, I went to Vandy too or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wasn't right. that it? I went to Vandy too, and Jay goes, don't care.
And if you see the picture, it exemplifies that he does not care. We cared quite a bit.
I know. I mean, I don't hate him doing that at the urinal.
Yeah, at the urinal, that's a bad time to strike up a conversation with someone that you don't know.
Uh-huh. But it just kind of.
But you recognize.
That also was the way he thought about reading defenses. But anyway, it's a new time.
It is a new time. And the general manager of your Chicago Bears spoke today. Now, here's what's interesting. One, there are a lot of important updates that Spiegs and I need to react to. Two, he did not take any questions, which we will also talk about. I thought it was odd that he didn't. I feel like this would be a great time for Ryan Poles to take questions. But regardless of that, let's give you what you need. This is Ryan Poles giving his state of the Bears as they open up training camp.
First, I want to start off by thanking our crew who set up Hallis Hall on our campus. They did a great job, especially Kim Rock and his group. Fields look great. I know a lot of time goes into that, so I appreciate everyone that set it up. Get our fans back on campus. I know our coaches, our players, everyone's excited to get our fans going and get that energy up for training camp. What I want to do today, just hit some house cleaning items in terms of designations that we got going on, a few signings. Hit that first, and then I'm going to pass it to Ben to open and talk about training camp. So NFI, Jalen Johnson, he started on NFI there. When he was training, he had a leg injury. I'm not going to get into details of that. It is going to take a few weeks before he can come back. We got a lot of faith that he's going to put in the time to rehab and be his full self when he comes back. I'm sure we'll have updates as we go through training camp, but it's going to take a little bit of time, but not overly concerned about long term. Three other guys, Case Keenum. That was just about a day. He had a little soft tissue deal. We wanted to be cautious about that. Make sure he was good. We did. Took him off just a day later, so he's good to go. And then Jahdae Walker and Ian Wheeler were the other two. Real minor. They're actually going to come off now. In the next few minutes, they'll be off of NFI as well. So we're in pretty good shape. Just want to say I'm proud of the guys that had previous injuries coming off of last year. To name a few, Braxton and Colston. Those guys put in a ton of work alongside our trainers, Andre Tucker, Pierre, Brent Salazar, to return and be ready to go for training camp. So we're excited to get those guys back going again. I'm sure there's going to be a ramp-up period. They haven't played football in a while, but really they're ready to go and knock that rust off and get going. As you always know, we'll bring in guys to work out. We're always looking to add competition to our roster. We're also anticipating potential injuries and things like that. So we want to make sure our short list is good. Through that process, we just signed Tano Passanio, defensive end. And we we signed Trey Flowers, corner, to come in as well. So that should be coming through the wire here today. I think that's that. In terms of contract that came out while we were on break, as I've always said, I'm not going to get into details of that. But I am excited about the alignment and the stability that we have within our leadership group here. I have an unbelievable group of people that support me, believe in me, work with me, that help drive what we're doing on our roster and on our football team. And that means a lot. Those people mean a lot to me. But my sole focus right now is supporting Ben, his coaching staff, our players, and our entire organization and football operation. So with that, I'll pass it to Ben to open up and hit training camp. And I look forward to it. I have a lot of time with all of you as we go through training camp in the next few weeks.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot of things to talk to him about. By the way, NFI is non-football injury. So these are guys that didn't get hurt while they were under the care of the Bears. It's a way to be able to manipulate your roster and your roster limits for training camp by having guys on NFI. In the case of Case Keenum, it doesn't matter that much at all because he just jumped right off of it. In the case of Jalen Johnson, though, we saw that he got put on the list. Was that Friday that he got put on NFI? Mm-hmm. The fact that it was like it's a few weeks before we get him back is a little scary.
Not scary to me. I'm not scared about that.
Why not?
Because it's July, and Jalen is as much of a pro as there can be. And if he doesn't get on the field for 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen enough football camps where it doesn't concern me.
It's a few weeks, though.
I hear
he
you.
He didn't say two
okay,
weeks.
Call it three. Jalen still being Jalen, and we've seen enough veteran high-end corners who don't even show up till late August, and that's not going to be the case. He'll be around. So I respect the concern. I don't particularly share it.
Okay. I have concern for a couple of reasons. One, it is a new scheme, and I get that he is meant for this scheme. It's a perfect scheme for him.
Right. Like, he's going to be asked to just cover, right?
Right.
For the most part. Go ahead and cover.
For the most part,
it's simpler. It's simpler, if anything.
You are going to show some different looks. The other thing is we don't know what the injury is. So I get concerned when you have a guy with a leg injury who very much needs his legs. You don't know what it is. If it's a soft tissue thing, it could be something that lingers throughout the season. Mm-hmm. If it's more serious than that, you worry about the reoccurrence of it. So I get that it's only July, but a few weeks, him saying it that way was like, oh, that is concerning.
I understand. It did not strike me that way because I trust in Jalen as a professional, as a dude who knows his body. And I'm sure that they're in contact and dealing with it. And I'm not
saying that Jalen won't work. Like, mm-hmm. I know that he'll put in the work. I'm just saying that it was striking to hear Ryan Pohl say that he's going to miss a few weeks.
I get you.
Because training camp itself is a few weeks.
But I just think they're so far away from any kind of games or competition of consequence. It is a new scheme, but it's like, you know, if there's one guy who I sort of trust to fit himself in, I guess it's him. But anyway, that's one of, I counted 8 points that Poles made overall.
Okay, what you got?
I got just like a general hello, salute, says hello, says, I'm going to turn it over to Ben here in a minute, says that early, then does the Jalen stuff, talks about Keenum, talked about Ian Wheeler and one other guy coming off the NFI. So I'm giving those NFIs their individuals. That's five. Braxton and Colston being ready to go. There'll be a ramp up period. They'll have to knock the rust off, etc. They'll be ready to go. That's six. Seventh, adding guys in competition. He talks about the defensive end and about Trey Flowers, the corner. That's seven. And then the eighth is his own contract. He does bring up his own contract.
Another interesting part of that to me, and it was, I'm trying not to read too much into it, but it did feel like, yeah, I'm still here and I'm still really happy. And
But I heard a guy who's proud he got a new deal, but doesn't just overall the way that he brings up Ben at the top, and then my focus is supporting Ben and his coaching staff at the bottom. And by the way, I'll be around. I'll see a lot of you guys. He knows that there's going to be people wanting to ask questions. He's saying, we're just getting started. It's day one. Let's let Ben be the focus. This is very much by design and vocally saying it about Ben at the top and about Ben at the bottom, saying, I'll be around. I'll see you guys. I have absolutely no problem with him not taking questions today.
I think it's a big deal that he didn't take questions today.
I think it is by design to give the shine and the focus to his head coach, and you will get those questions answered. You've got the Lissagors here. I do not.
Seems to keep coming up, and it's never me who's bringing that up.
It was literally you yesterday.
It was you yesterday,
No, it was not. Yeah, it was not.
Yeah, it was. No, but that's a good thing. You've got the journalistic ear, and you're feeling that pull, and I totally respect it. This is them having one day to kind of set the template and show you what they're going to do and what it's going to be. Coach is in charge. It's his show. Let's let him go here. The fact that he brings up his contract, I think, is a big deal. He does bring it up.
I wonder about that, too, though. I wonder if inside of that is a guy being like, I mean, yeah, I'm good. Like, I've been taken care of, and, you know, I just feel like you can do both of those things, and I'm not sure why they wouldn't feel like they can do both. He can answer the questions that one would expect a general manager to answer, and be like, look, you know, Ben Johnson is going to you're going to hear from Ben, and Ben's got a lot of things to say about what's going on.
Maybe it's a touch emblematic in that way, because the ask of Ryan Poles, hey, you want to stay? We're hiring a head coach. You're choosing this guy, but he's in charge. You cool with that? Some things are going to change around here.
That's what I was hearing.
Me, and it is, dude. And he got his money. He got his money in part for his willingness to go with the new paradigm, which frankly is the best paradigm. You look around the league and it is the best way.
Yeah, I think that it is, but I also think that there are just things that you want to take off of your head coach too.
Yeah, that's a good question. See, this is what I don't know. Is if Ben was asked about the ramp-up period for Braxton and Colston.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
if he's asked about what Jalen's injury is and what that means for Dennis Allen. Maybe Dennis Allen will be asked about that, and he can handle that, you know?
And maybe Ryan will do something, like, in late August. Like, maybe after, you know, after they do final cuts, like, that'll be the opportunity for him or I guess early September, because it's pretty quick, right? It's Labor Day week is when the season starts.
It's a good question. When might he do it? He might do it in a couple weeks. He might do one in a couple weeks.
I mean, that's why I feel like you kind of do it now, and then it is here's Ben's camp, and you allow him to answer any of the questions that happen in between now and the regular season, because then we are doing more on the field stuff versus off the field stuff, which is kind of what general managers use that first press conference to do. And I mean, he went down the list of things that I think that are really important.
That's what I'm saying. I think he covered everything he needs to cover, and then he hands it over to the coach, and that's the strategy choice.
But
which you could quibble
but
with.
There's more depth that's needed. Like, for example,
is there today?
I think from a general manager standpoint, yeah. Like, the Braxton Jones stuff calls for a follow-up question.
For like, how soon does it matter for the public and for our interest, right? But how soon does it matter as you're watching practice to know?
Well, I think it matters because you're trying to figure out when he might practice.
There's a ramp-up period, so now...
Right, so you would ask about that. Like, what was the rehab process like for Braxton Jones? When did you guys feel comfortable pulling him and saying, yeah, he can go? Like, I think that those are some of the things that he can take off of Ben's plate, so that Ben doesn't then have to go down a line of answering some of those questions.
And that's fair. I wonder if Ben accosted with kind of questions that should be Poles' plate.
Not a lot. I don't think he was asked about Jalen, but like, to speaking on all of this, like, they're trying to put everything that happened last year in the rearview mirror, but Ryan Poles getting up there and just kind of ending it without any questions. You know, our guy Weedsy brought up a good point on the midday show today. They asked him, what's the first thing you'd ask Ryan Poles today, assuming that they're going to be able to ask questions? He says, I want to know about the things that Ryan Poles admitted slipped through the cracks last preseason, last training camp. What's he going to do different this time around so those same things don't happen? And I was like, oh, that's a really good question, and that was not available to be asked today. And so now that may be asked to Ben Johnson later on.
Yeah, well, I think the default answer to that and just about everything is whatever Ben tells him to worry about, frankly. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And I think that's the reality. And he's going ahead and emblematically letting that be known. The reality is that Ben's in charge. And a good GM in football is cool with that. I mean, how many GMs are really, truly the boss and in charge in the NFL? Howie Roseman? How many others are really, truly the boss? And
I'm trying to think of like the successful teams more so than the non-successful teams.
It's just not a lot of Bill Polians out there these days.
But I mean, like you see and hear from like Brian Gutekunst, for example. Like you hear from Jerry Jones literally twice a week.
How's that going?
Not great. It is not. There probably should be someone in that position. Yeah. And I know Steven's been doing a lot more stuff, but that should probably.
And he's an unfair example. But, you know, Gutekunst is interesting. Does Gutekunst set the template of how they're supposed to do things, or is that LaFleur?
Here's what, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I would have to look. Find out if Eric DaCosta has taken questions, because there's a guy that clearly. John Harbaugh is in charge of the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a great question. But, is it less Snead with the Rams?
Yeah.
Or does Les Snead take questions today?
I imagine he usually does, and then sometimes he just says bleep them picks out in public when they win Super Bowls too.
But I think that's a great question. There's a great kind of path for us to go down and figure out, because they're setting a new template here. They're trying to make it clear they're doing a new thing.
I think that's what they're doing. I hope that's what they're doing. There's another way that you can look at that too. You could have looked at Ryan Poles not answering questions as him pouting. You could have. You could look at it as like him ending the whole thing and being like, yeah, and I got my deal and I'm not going to take any questions. And you can talk to the guy that's in charge here.
Do you get that sense?
I'm just saying that one could look at it that way.
Well, but I don't look at it that way.
Well, you remember for years and years, how often did we hear our guy Bernstein say, the higher you are up the totem pole, the less we should hear from you. Remember? So I wonder if that's like an actual thing too.
I think that with Kevin, that should be the case. I think with the guy in charge of the football operation, just to open it up and say, hey, I think that the question that Weedsy brought up is a really, really good one.
It really is.
What went into the decision of bringing Case Keenum in? Like, there's a lot to what will go into, and that's something that can ask Ben. But
there it is.
No, not the Keenum thing. The next thing I was thinking of is like the left tackle position and how that competition goes. Like, what matters to you?
Sure.
Like, hearing about those things, I think is important.
Hopefully we hear what matters to Ben about the left tackle. We hear from the new offense.
We will at five.
There we go. That's a great tease. Mark Grody with all the tape you need, including Ben Johnson on left tackle at 5:00. And maybe we'll hear at some point from Dan Rauschauer, the new offensive line coach, about this left tackle competition. Because guess what? Ryan Poles, as an offensive line judge and strategist, I'm ready to hear what Ben Johnson has to say.
I get that. But I worry about us jumping to Ben is in charge and it's the right thing to do. I want to hear more about the symbiosis. I want to hear what maybe Ryan Poles' view on football has changed because he is now in a partnership with Ben Johnson.
I would hope that's the case, and I bet that is, and I would like to hear more about that. And I wonder if Ryan is going to do more stuff like on the side with people as he references there towards the end.
That would happen occasionally where, you know, the beat reporters would get tables with the general manager. It's just it is a little striking because ordinarily it is something that is, it's fairly perfunctory that that's the opportunity for the GM to open up and talk about whatever, however the team finished the last season, what improvements the team has made in the offseason, and the injuries for sure are usually something at the start of a training camp that that person is speaking to.
I appreciate the conversation, and I hope the listeners do, because I think it's intentionally striking. I think it's intentionally striking to make you realize what's going on here. And I think I've been calling for it for a long time.
I think most of us have.
And I think we're actually seeing it. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I know that it's worth trying to give a head coach the freaking keys, the offensive-minded head coach, the freaking keys with a young quarterback and say, you go ahead and do that thing that you seem to know how to do. Let's give that a shot, shall we? Because we never have.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We talk about where we're at as a team and what training camp means, and it's just another step for what we're building. The foundation's already been put in place in the springtime, and we're looking to build on that as we go over the course of camp. You know, competition, I think, exists at all levels of our roster. That's going to bring out the best in all of our guys. Hard to say. Of course, there's certain battles that we've already highlighted that might take precedence over the course of camp. But I think everything's open and really excited to see where that leads.
Don't do it, Ben Johnson. Don't say everything's on the table. Don't do it after general manager only spoke for 2 minutes and 43 seconds after getting extended for 5 years. Don't. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, talking about what we just heard from both Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson at Hallis Hall. Ben Johnson talked for 19 minutes, so that was good. You want to hear from your head coach. I want to hear from both.
I thought it was 14 minutes.
It was 14? Okay, these headphones leave a little bit to be desired, clearly. But the point is, Ben spoke for more time.
Much more time, considerably more time. And that's fine. Listen, clearly Ben Johnson's going to be the big man on campus, the mouthpiece, everything else at Hallis Hall going forward. And that's fine.
But he should not be the one to field questions when it comes to when you add personnel. And for those who may have missed it earlier, We heard that Jalen Johnson suffered a leg injury in training. He will remain on the NFI list. Ryan Poles expects him to be out a few weeks. And then Ryan Poles also said that the team signed defensive back Trey Flowers, not to be confused with the defensive lineman, and then also defensive lineman Tano Pesegno. So that's something where you can at least understand that the team did want to add and make a couple of more moves ahead of this training camp. As for what we heard from Ben Johnson, one of the biggest things that stands out to me is when he said, "This is a race." He talked about the sense of urgency he needs not only out of the team, but out of himself, out of the coaching staff, how important each game is in order to be able to not only evaluate the team, but also learn procedure for himself. And we both keyed in on this when Brad Biggs asked Ben Johnson what your benchmark goals are for not only your quarterback, but the rest of your team. And Johnson said he would love it if Caleb Williams could complete 70% of his passes. Well, we know that that was not the case last season, and he's known for his accuracy, Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams last season, I believe it was 62.5%, and I thought that that was good. So when you consider 70 as the benchmark, that kind of also lets you know what Ben Johnson wants to see out of his quarterback.
How many quarterbacks do you think passed at a 70% rate or better last year, if you just had to take a wild guess?
At 70?
70.
Seven.
We've got, of people who've played double-digit games, there were five.
Wow.
There were five. The quarterbacks in question were, not surprisingly, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, and Tua Tagovailoa. He's the only one of those five that I named that didn't play 17 games. Of course, he was out with concussion. So those are the guys who passed for over 70%. Closely behind that, Jaden Daniels, 69%.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, 68.8%. And Jalen Hurts, 68.7%.
Yeah, I thought Jalen Hurts was somewhere up there, but I didn't realize that they were just outside of that mark.
70 is a high mark.
Yes, it is.
That is hard to do. It is not easy.
And when you balance it with what we know about Ben Johnson talking about EPA and how that dictates how he views metrics, how he wants to see his offense succeed, I feel like that is a big piece of understanding not only the standard that he creates for his quarterback, but also how it all factors in. It sounds like there's going to be more, more risks that are going to have to be taken when it comes to all of this.
I'm not so sure if it's going to be a risk thing. It might be a more quick outs thing. It might be a more, let's just make sure we can complete the 5-yard pass and let our receiver do the work. Think about the stable of playmakers they have right now. When you talk about guys from last year, whether it's Rome Odunze, whether it's DJ Moore.
DeAndre Swift can catch a few passes out of a backfield to up your percentage game.
Also that. And then when you look at the two players that they added, Luther Burden III and, of course, Colston Loveland, it seems like the idea here is to get the ball in playmakers' hands as quickly as possible and let them do it, to speak to the EPA portion of the conversation.
Yeah, you want your quarterback to be one of those playmakers too. But the easy way first, I think, is to be able to do this, where you're trusting your veterans and trusting the guys who have a little more experience of you first. So I think that that's okay.
No, I also want to say this. If he does complete 70% of his passes, the odds of this team having a winning record will shoot up dramatically. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's important that this is a task that is completed. Because you mentioned 62.5%, that was not high on the list. That was very much the lower third of the NFL in terms of quarterback completion percentage.
Which tells you a lot about the upper 60s being guys like Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts, when the lower 60s are guys like Caleb Williams. That to me says a lot about the contrast in that part of the percentage group. 70s, I think, is obviously your outlier. Those are when you get into elite passing stats. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score as we listen and discuss what we heard out of Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. Another aspect of what Ben Johnson said is contradictory to what we originally heard, is that it sounds like, and this was always my impression, that Darnell Wright was going to stay on the right side. Now that we know that Braxton Jones is ready and he's going to be ramped up, it makes sense that theoretically that would be a Ozzie Trapillo, Karan Amagaji, Braxton Jones type of competition. When Mark Grody asked Ben Johnson the question, he said Karan would be in at the competition at left and reconfirmed that Darnell Wright would not be playing at left tackle.
Sounds like they are set at four positions on the offensive line, and the only one that is in question is indeed left tackle. But there is not a two-man race, but as Ben Johnson defined it, a three-man race. We've often talked about Ozzie Trapillo, Braxton Jones, and of course, Karan Amagaji has kind of been in the back seat of that. But it sounds like from Ben Johnson's standpoint, at least what he told us today in his first press conference from training camp, is it is an open competition. Everyone will have a chance to compete for that left tackle spot.
I also found it interesting when Dan Weirer was asking him about what the offense is going to look like and what some of the marks were going to be for success. He mentioned cadence along with pre-snap procedure, footwork, understanding where your weapons are, and anticipating throws. And when he said cadence, I know we heard a lot last season about cadence being an issue early, and then the Bears were saying, oh, well, it's been fixed. I don't necessarily think it was. Not to the extent where they were happy with it. I feel like we heard a lot, even when the Nats mic, the natural sound mic, would pick up, like the field mic, you'd hear from the quarterback. I feel like there were still a lot of timing issues. So I appreciate that Ben Johnson brought up cadence when it came to the Bears operating pre-snap and what they were seeing. Because I wonder if that was one of those steps that was skipped or something that they thought was going to be okay that never really was fixed the way they wanted it to be last season.
So when you say it's up to the Bears' standards, specifications, that doesn't necessarily mean it was up to the standard of Ben Johnson and what he wants out of his quarterback. That's where I'm kind of drawing a direct line to, is Caleb Williams fulfilling the expectations of this head coach in this moment? And I think Ben Johnson has very different expectations, first of all, for what he wants out of Caleb Williams right now as they're kind of building things up versus what he wants a finished product in week 18 to look like. And I found it interesting that he talked about kind of building this thing up in terms of talking about the first couple of weeks was just installation. They're doing this like step by step, aka not skipping steps in what they want. And it may take a little longer than originally planned if there are setbacks in the learning process. I'm good with that, as you talked about. Same thing you said about injuries and not having injuries that you're dealing with in the regular season. You'd rather rest guys now. I'd rather you get it right now.
That's it for me. That's it. And if pre-snap is so much of this, and I go on about it a lot, you know, and I compliment your boy Aaron Rodgers.
He's not my boy.
There's nobody better than reading a field pre-snap than Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. To me, that's still the gold standard. And so when you consider how much work is done before the snap, then that makes a lot of this make a lot of sense to me. Another thing that was discussed was, I think, a little bit of a sneak peek when it comes to looking at the offense. When he talks about not only getting to know each other as a team, but he mentions the phrasing, there were plays that you would not want to run against a Dennis Allen offense, but we've got to introduce them. And that makes me wonder, were they just simply not successful, but you needed to at least understand those concepts? Like the measurement of success there wasn't going to be whether or not you completed the pass, wasn't going to be whether or not you got a lot of yards in that play. It was going to be understanding that's what you need to do. Because if you're bringing up the defense already in that context, that makes me think that some of the plays you were running just weren't successful in offseason programs.
I would say more of it's about keeping the defense honest. You know your bread and butter plays, right? The ones that you feel like have a much higher chance of working. From an analytics standpoint, we know he's big on analytics, from a percentage standpoint. But what makes those plays effective, part of the reason, is how it fits under your entire umbrella of a playbook. And you got to run this play every once in a while just to keep the defense honest.
Well, what about also what he had to say about whether or not he doesn't know if they're outside zone or if they're gap? That was big.
I think he's still figuring it out. I think he's still trying to tailor the personnel and what they can do. Because first thing you do is find out, what are we bad at? Because if you know if you're bad at something, you're not going to do that.
Well, you shouldn't.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, I do think there are coaches that will still force it.
They're because stubborn.
They want to believe that their scheme is the one that will be successful. But that's a big dictating mission statement there when you want to tell people how you're running the ball. It also kind of lets me know that that wasn't a real big need for you when it came to the responsibilities of your offensive linemen. Because typically, a lot of times, teams will get certain personnel because they know they fit an outside gap scheme, for example, or an outside zone scheme, for example. So in that vein, I was very interested to hear him say that because I'm thinking, so why did you get the guys you wanted? Because you knew that they could do those things? Like both of them? You know, that's an interesting point of it to me.
The one part of the question I have is, okay, you have this offensive line that you essentially handpicked along with Ryan Poles to build your offense and your playbook from the studs. That's the quote, right? But do you have the personnel in your backfield and your array of weapons to do exactly what you want to do? I don't know if Kyle Manungai and Swift, and you can go up and down the other running backs, Roschon Johnson, can do all the stuff that you want to do in as effective a manner as it was being done in Detroit. And that's really what this is about, is how good can your offense be? Especially if Caleb Williams isn't where you want him to be at the beginning of the season. Because that's the telltale sign for me. Your performance early in the season is going to put you in position to either even be within shouting distance of a playoff spot or not. To be within a shouting distance of a winning record or not.
You know who answers that question, especially when you previous to this had a reported $14.5 million under the cap? Your general manager.
I mean, I would ask him about it, but I heard he wasn't taking questions.
And that's fine. We should be happy with what we get. Go Bears!
Hey, man.
They went 5-12 last season.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
There's an old adage in sports, and specifically football, that says if you have two quarterbacks, you do not have one. How would you take an update that there are three left tackles? Ben Johnson said Braxton Jones, Kieran Amagaji, and the rookie, Ozzie Trapillo, are all in the running, a three-man weave, if you will, to be the starting left tackle. Johnson called it an open competition, said he's never experienced a position battle among three guys. Can you handicap it for us, please?
It doesn't bother me so much as it would ordinarily if everyone were coming in on equal footing and you didn't know what you had. I think what this is almost as strategic because it protects you from the possibility that Braxton Jones may not be as far along as you hope, because if he is, I think it's an easy decision. If Braxton Jones is healthy and the player he was before the injury, he clearly is your number one left tackle. And I say clearly only because of the experience. I may look foolish in saying that if Ozzie Trapillo comes out and he looks the part and he dominates and engulfs defensive pass rushers who are smaller than him because of his size and just stature. But I do think when you look at handicapping it and what you expect, it's got to be Braxton Jones 1, Trapillo 2, and Kieran Amagaji, swing tackle of the future, 3. Amagaji being included in this, I think, is intentional as well because it represents a clean slate that everybody has under a new regime. But I don't think he's a serious contender or challenger for a starting spot. We see what they think of Trapillo. He is a second rounder. Those guys are impact guys, quick guys. And I think also when you have the four other guys that are very solid at their positions and you have Braxton Jones with all of the career starts that he has under his belt, if he's healthy, he's your guy with Trapillo giving an opportunity to prove what he can do once the pads come on.
It's well said, David. I don't know if you said on a foot for a point, but that got my attention because, of course, Braxton Jones leading with that lower body injury, foot injury, was walking around in a boot. Let's really handicap it. And Mully, I think it's a great analogy that if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And I think because Braxton Jones is actually going to participate, there will be a ramp-up period, but he is available to practice as soon as this morning. In about 2 hours from right now, the Bears will be on the practice field. So Braxton Jones would be like minus $1.10. He'd be the favorite to start at left tackle. And then I put about, I guess, plus 250, plus 275 on Ozzie Trapillo. And then if you're getting to Kieran Amagaji, I think you're getting into the plus 800 category. And this is also about like a tip of the cap or just like, hey, don't forget, I got your back, Ryan. Okay, you and I are buddies. We're connected at the hip. I know you drafted this guy. You overdrafted him last year, but that's okay. I'll put him in the answer that he's part of a three-man weave as we pick our next left tackle. But you and I, we're tight, pal.
Oh, that's funny. So the news yesterday, if you want to call it news, was that that when asked, Ben Johnson eliminated Darnell Wright from the competition. He said that there's not going to be a scenario. He stay at right tackle. They're not moving him to the left side. Everyone kind of knew that, but he said it. So that's kind of like a little bit of a of news for you there. They're not, it's not going to be a fourth guy competing for that position. So it's my understanding when you hear about a ramp up after injury, that usually means that a guy's made it back to the point where he can play and then he can take a day off and then he can come back and play. And then he can take another day off. That a ramp up means you're not day in and day out ready to go. So expect that. We'll monitor that. But I would say with his 40 career starts over the last 3 years, that Braxton Jones would be the favorite. He is coming off of a broken ankle. Ozzie Trapillo is well ahead of Kieran Amagaji. If I'm making book on this, I would say that Jones, as Dustin broke down for you, probably the favorite. Trapillo is the I don't want to call him a long shot, but he's got a shot. I don't think Kieran Amagaji is in this competition. I think it's kind of a two-man weave, to be brutally honest about it, but maybe he'll surprise me. I wonder if the answer is to start all three of them and just like, then you might still have problems protecting the quarterback. They went out.
No tight ends.
I'm just joking.
Seven offensive linemen.
Start them all.
Yeah.
They changed the middle of their offensive line. We know they like Darnell Wright. So they got 4 out of 5. And I think that Ozzie Trapillo is serviceable and good enough if they have to go that route. And I think Braxton Jones is probably the leader in the clubhouse, at least for the next year, because of the experience factor. But he's got to get better, too. And I'm not sure that Kieran Amagaji is in this competition.
Competition is good. It brings out the best in everyone. That's the other hidden value of having an open competition, or at least saying that it is, because you don't want to lose anybody on the first day.
Exactly right. And you're covered, and one of these guys is going to be the starter and the other guy is going to be the swing tackle, and that's a very important position too.
Yep.
All righty. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun.
and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.